I am standing in the kitchen with my hands wet when the sound starts. Not loud yet, just enough that my body notices before my mind does. He looks at me like he's waiting for a cue. I don't give one. I dry my hands slower than I need to. We don't move right away. That pause is something we never talk about. It's the place where we decide who we are to each other. I think about touching his arm. I don't. I think about saying something small. I don't. The sound sharpens. My phone vibrates on the counter. I flip it face down without reading it. He says my name once. Not urgent. Almost careful. I realize I'm already stepping away. Not toward the door. Away from him. I don't explain. I don't look back. I know what he's seeing. That I chose silence again. Chapter 1. Pressure. The sound fades and comes back again. It never stops all the way. It just loosens its grip. I finish drying my hands. I fold the towel the same way I always do. I place it on the counter, like that matters. He is still standing there. He hasn't moved. Neither have I, not really. I say nothing. I don't ask where we should go. I already know. We walk down the hallway together. Not touching, not separate enough to call it distance. I count the steps without meaning to. The light flickers once. I don't look up. Inside the room, everything is familiar. Too familiar, the kind of familiar that stops feeling safe. We sit, we wait, we breathe when we remember to. He watches the door. I watch his hands. They are still. I think about the last thing I said to him before the sound started. It was nothing important. It never is. The quiet presses in, not silence. Something heavier. I realize I'm holding my breath. I let it out slowly. I don't want him to hear it shake. This is the part people don't notice. The waiting inside the waiting. The place where everything slows but your chest. He glances at me, just once. I don't meet his eyes. I don't want him to ask if I'm okay. I don't want to answer. I don't want to lie or tell the truth. I learned a long time ago not to ask questions that need care. Care costs too much when it has to be rebuilt every time. I don't say that out loud. The sound fades again. My body doesn't believe it. Neither do I. We sit longer than we need to. We always do. Leaving too early feels reckless. I think about the way my shoulders sit when I'm like this. Tight. Ready. I didn't train them. They just learned. He reaches for his phone. Stops. Puts it back down. That small movement does something to me. I feel it before I understand it. A tightening that has nothing to do with fear. I want to tell him I don't need reassurance. I want to tell him I stopped needing it a while ago. I don't know which version of that hurts more. When we finally stand, my legs feel light. Not weak, unanchored. We move back into the apartment. Everything looks the same. It always does. The kettle is still warm. The window is still open a crack. Life resumes like it never paused. I start wiping the counter again. There's nothing on it. I wipe anyway. He leans against the doorframe, watching me, waiting for something I don't know how to give. You don't have to, he says. Just that, no pressure in his voice. I nod. I keep wiping. I don't stop. What he means is I don't have to pretend everything is fine. What I hear is, don't make this harder. Both feel heavy. I remember when touch was automatic, not planned, not negotiated. I don't say when that changed. I don't know if there was a moment. It feels like something that happened while I was busy staying upright. He steps closer. Not too close. Careful. My body reacts before my thoughts do. I shift just enough. I hate that he notices. I hate that he always does. I hate that it makes him quiet. I'm here, he says. Soft, like a reminder. I nod again. I don't look at him. Being here isn't the same as being reachable. I put the cloth down. My hands are steady. That's new. I realize that calm feels wrong. Like I'm missing something important. Like I forgot to lock a door. The thought surprises me. I don't push it away. I let it sit. He asks if I want tea. Yes. I say it too quickly. The kettle goes back on. The sound fills the space. I focus on that. While we wait, I think about how often I scan rooms. Not for exits, for shifts, tone changes, breathing changes. The smallest signs that something is about to ask too much of me. I don't remember deciding to live like this. It feels older than choice, like muscle memory. He pours the water, hands me the cup. Our fingers brush. It's brief, accidental. My chest tightens anyway. I pull my hand back. Not fast, not slow. I watch his face change, just a flicker, then control. I hate that I caused it. I hate that I noticed. I hate that I catalog it like evidence. We sit at the table. The chairs scrape softly. The sound makes me flinch. I take a sip. It's too hot. I don't react. He starts to say something. Stops, starts again. I worry about you, he says. Not accusing, just tired. I look at my cup. I trace the rim with my finger. I don't answer. I don't want to explain that worry feels like pressure, that care can feel like another alert, that sometimes love sounds like something is wrong. I didn't realize then that I had begun to measure affection by how little it asked of me. I didn't say it out loud. I'm not sure I knew yet. He reaches across the table, stops halfway, leaves his hand there. That space between our hands feels loud, louder than the sound earlier. It demands a decision. I stare at it, at the gap, at what it means. I could take his hand. I could let it rest there. I could feel something warm and steady. Instead, I wrap both hands around my cup. I ground myself there. I choose heat over touch. His hand drops back to his side. No sound, no comment. The quiet after that is different. Thicker, harder to move through. I tell myself, this is what survival looks like. Staying contained, staying ready. The thought settles too easily. That's what scares me. I realize I don't feel relief when the danger passes. I feel exposed, like the armor came off too soon. The room feels wrong again. Too open, too soft. I scan without meaning to. Not the walls, him. I see the way his shoulders slump, the way he looks away, the way he gives me space I didn't ask for. I understand something then, slowly, uncomfortably. I don't know when I stopped separating the feeling of threat from the feeling of closeness. I don't know which one taught the other. I just know they live in the same place now. And I don't know how to tell him that love has started to feel like something I need to brace for. Chapter 2, Break. He starts sleeping closer to the edge of the bed. Not every night, just often enough that I notice. I don't mention it. Mentioning things gives them weight. Weight turns into conversations. We move around each other carefully, like furniture that might tip if pushed wrong. I learn the new paths without thinking. In the mornings, he wakes before me. I hear him in the kitchen. The cups, the sink, the quiet. I stay still longer than I need to. I wait for the rhythm of his movements to settle. Only then do I get up. Nothing is wrong. That's what we both pretend. Nothing has happened. I start keeping my phone on silent, not because of the sound, because of the waiting. I don't want to see his name light up when I'm not ready. I don't want to feel the small rush of dread that follows it. I don't want to measure my response time. I tell myself this is control, that I'm choosing when to engage. It feels responsible. He notices anyway. He always does. You didn't answer, he says one night. Not sharp, just stating a fact. I didn't hear it, I say. True enough, I didn't let myself. He nods. He doesn't push. That makes it worse. We sit on opposite ends of the couch. The space between us has become a habit. It feels wrong when it closes. I realize I've started planning my emotions, deciding in advance how much I can give, how much I need to hold back. I don't remember learning that either. It feels older than him, older than us. He reaches for me less. Not because he wants me less, but because he's learned. That knowledge lands heavy. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know if I want to undo it. One evening, he tells me he might go stay with his sister for a few days, just to breathe, just to reset. He says it like a suggestion. He watches my face carefully, waiting for something. I feel my chest tighten, not panic, something colder. Okay, I say, too easily. The relief hits him before the hurt does. I see it. I hate myself for noticing. He nods. He says thank you. That word shouldn't be there. After that, everything shifts faster. He packs lightly. I don't offer to help. I tell myself this is temporary. That space will fix things. That distance will make us miss each other. But another thought sits underneath that one. Quieter, more honest. That calm might finally arrive. When he leaves, the apartment feels larger. Not emptier, just wider. I sleep in the middle of the bed. I don't wake up at every sound. I don't brace. That scares me. The ease of it, how quickly my body accepts the absence. I don't tell him that. I don't tell anyone. We text, short messages, neutral updates. I answer when I can. I avoid depth without deciding to. It happens on its own. He asks if I miss him. I stare at the screen longer than necessary. I type, I erase, I type again. I send. It's not a lie. It's just incomplete. What I don't say is that missing feels safer than reaching. That longing doesn't ask anything back. That absence doesn't interrupt. He comes back after 4 days. Not angry, not distant, careful. That's worse. He hugs me at the door. I let him. My arms move a second late. He notices. Of course he does. We sit at the table again. Same chairs, same cups. He tells me he's been thinking. I feel my body tense before the words arrive. I don't know how to be with you without hurting you, he says. His voice is steady. That steadiness cracks something open. I want to tell him he isn't hurting me, that nothing is wrong, that this is just how things are. But that would be another lie, and I'm tired of carrying those. I don't know how to be different, I say. It comes out flat. It surprises me. We sit with that. The air thickens. No alarms, no sounds. I feel like I'm always waiting, he says, for permission, for access, for you. I grip the edge of the table. I focus on the pressure under my fingers. I stay quiet. I don't want to leave, he says, but I can't keep disappearing inside this. That sentence lands hard, not because it's dramatic, because it's true. I realize then that my coping has a cost, that my silence has been loud, that my distance has been shaping him too. Something inside me reaches for retreat, the old instinct, the one that says, protect the core. I nod, once, small, I understand, I say, and I do. He looks relieved and devastated at the same time. We don't fight. There is no explosion, no raised voices. We agree on space, again, but this time it has weight. He starts packing properly, not hurried, deliberate. I sit on the couch and watch. I don't help. I don't stop him. This is the moment I choose something. I don't say it out loud. I barely admit it to myself. I choose the version of myself that survives alone, the one who knows how to stay contained, the one who doesn't wait for reassurance. When he leaves, there is no hug, just a look, longer than it needs to be. I love you, he says, not as a plea, as a fact. I know, I say, it's all I have. The door closes softly, no final sound, no echo. I sit there for a long time, longer than makes sense, listening to nothing. I feel something settle inside me. Not grief, resolution. It scares me how familiar it feels, how practiced, how ready. I don't know when love became something I rationed, something I handled with gloves, something I believed I had to survive. I only know that I didn't try to stop it this time. Chapter 3, after. The apartment holds its shape without him. Nothing collapses, nothing protests. I wake up the next morning before my alarm. The room is quiet, in a way that feels intentional, like it agreed to leave me alone. I lie there longer than usual. I wait for the tension that normally follows waking. It doesn't come. That should feel like relief. Instead, it feels like something went missing and forgot to announce itself. I get up. I make coffee for one. I use the smaller mug without thinking. I don't check my phone right away. There's no urgency now. No one waiting on the other end of my silence. The day moves cleanly. Work, errands, familiar streets. I notice how often I scan anyway. Not for danger, for disruption. I listen for sounds that don't come. I brace for questions that aren't asked. My body doesn't know the difference yet. At the grocery store, I reach for two of something. Stop, put one back. The woman at the register smiles at me. I smile back. It feels practiced. I tell myself this is peace. I tell myself I earned it. I tell myself it makes sense. At night, the bed stays cool. I spread out without apologizing. I sleep through until morning. The ease unsettles me. It feels too fast, too complete. I replay the conversation in my head. Not the words, the spaces between them. The pauses where I could have reached. The moments I didn't. I don't feel regret. That's what surprises me. I feel something closer to relief, and then guilt for that relief. I wonder how long I've been waiting for quiet without admitting it. How often I mistook vigilance for love. How often I called restraint maturity. Days pass, no messages, no update. I don't break the silence. I don't need to decide not to. I walk through the city and notice couples moving together. Hands brushing, bodies angled toward each other. I feel distant from them, not bitter, just separate. I remember when that closeness felt automatic, before it became something I had to calculate, before I learned how much it could cost. I don't miss him the way I expected. I miss the version of myself that still reached without thinking. I don't know where she went. At work, someone asks if I'm okay. I say yes. It's true enough. I am functioning. I am intact. I am calm. That calm follows me everywhere. It sits beside me at meals. It lies down next to me at night. Sometimes it feels earned. Sometimes it feels like armor I forgot to take off. I catch myself flinching when my phone rings. Then I laugh quietly. There's no one there to demand anything. I realize how much of my life was spent managing closeness. Not choosing it, managing it. I think about him when something good happens. A small victory, a joke I would have shared. The thought arrives and leaves. It doesn't linger. That absence scares me more than missing would have. I meet a friend for coffee. She asks how things are. I tell her the truth without details. I feel lighter, I say. She nods like that's a good thing. I don't correct her. I don't know if it is. At home, I rearrange the bookshelf. I move his books into a box, not with anger, with care. I don't rush. I don't cry. I notice how efficient I've become at ending things internally before they end out loud. How little drama it takes now. How little resistance. I wonder if this is growth or retreat. I don't settle on an answer. There are moments when loneliness creeps in. Usually late, usually quiet. It doesn't roar. It sits beside me like a question I don't want to ask. I imagine what it would feel like to let someone close again. The image tightens my chest, not fear, recognition. I know how quickly closeness can turn into vigilance, how love can become another thing to monitor. I don't want to relearn that. I catch myself choosing solitude over invitation. Not once, repeatedly. Each time it feels sensible. Each time it feels safer. I think about the way he used to watch me. Careful, patient. I wonder what it did to him to love someone who kept retreating. The thought lands and passes. I don't reach out. I don't owe anyone an explanation for my quiet. I stand at the window one evening and notice how still everything looks from above. Lights on, lights off, lives continuing without interruption. I remember believing that love was something you had to defend. Hold tightly, protect at all costs. Now it feels like something I survived by letting go. That thought doesn't feel triumphant. It feels factual. I don't feel broken. I feel altered. Something in me has shifted its weight, settled deeper, harder to reach. I know now that I can live like this, contained, self-sufficient. That knowledge brings a kind of calm and a kind of loss I don't know how to name. I turn off the lights and lie down. The room holds steady. So, I close my eyes without waiting for anything.